And that's my great privilege to introduce Kristen to us. Kristen, come here, my friend. You've heard me say so many times how much I've been blessed through this man's ministry, how he's opened up the scriptures to me. And I know this morning we are in for more good stuff, that the God's put in his heart that he's going to bring out for us this morning. So let's pray for him, shall we, church? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this man. Thank you, Father, for the way that you opened his eyes, for him to see things differently, Lord Jesus, to find a different way and to open up the scriptures to us. So many of us have benefited in so many different ways over so many times, Father. And we pray this morning that your spirit would rest on him again, that you would bless him and his family, Lord Jesus, that you would pour out your love into their lives again today, Lord Jesus. Let them know you afresh today. Let them know your blessing afresh today. Oh, Lord Jesus, and as he speaks to us, give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Because we want to be soft in your hands this morning, Lord Jesus. We don't want to be hard. We don't want to be, have already decided what you're asking us to do, where you're asking us to head, what you're asking us to do today. We want to be soft in your hands. We want to be changed by your spirit. And we know this man has been given a message from you for our hearts today. And we welcome it, Lord Jesus. We thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.
Nowadays, I never seem to know how to start. I've never known how to finish, but the middle will be good. I've got some verses from the Bible for the middle. Oops. So they'll be good. You know, what happens is, you know, in worship I start having other thoughts, you know, from what you've thought about to say. So I'm not kind of saying that the Lord changes everything, because I don't think that's the case, but you have other thoughts. And I just, suddenly thought about that verse, you know, where Jesus is riding into Jerusalem and everyone's shouting because of the miracles, and they're putting their coats out and the palm leaves. And people are saying, tell him to stop. This is not suitable for a person to receive this kind of hype. And Jesus says this really interesting. He says, you know, if they kept quiet, the stones would cry out. And I'm going to say something a bit weird, but I think that, you see, when Jesus is revealed as king, creation changes, you know. And the atmosphere has changed over the UK this year. 2010, I think we'll look back on, and we'll say something changed in the atmosphere. You know, creation started to resonate with the fact that the king was coming closer. You know, Jesus has been in their midst all that time, but he's now being revealed as king. And as I'm saying these words, sorry, Anna, I've got to remember it, but there's a prophecy in Zechariah which talks about Joshua the priest, which is the name Jesus, the priest, receiving the crown. And there being a change in the administration as the priest takes on the crown. And I can't remember it exactly, but it's something about how Jesus is who is here anyway. He's been in and out of this town time after time. But as the kingship of Jesus gets revealed, creation starts to shake. You know, which is what happens at Advent. And this is the period of Advent. And it says that after the angels came and sang, and it said, and then the whole host of heaven joined them. And we tend to think of that as being angels, but actually that phrase typically just means the sun and the moon. They're the hosts of heaven. It's like something about creation as Jesus comes starts to resonate. And that is the truth of the presence of Jesus, the parousia of Jesus. You know, you've got to understand, the early church chose a word for the coming. You know, when in our Bibles, when it talks about the coming of Jesus, the second coming, they chose a word. They didn't have to choose. They chose the word presencing rather than coming, because it tied into an experience they knew. One day Jesus will come again. He will be fully present again. But they chose a word that made sense of their experience, because they could feel him. They felt the revelation of Jesus as king. And I want to speak the truth that 2010, the layer between heaven and earth got a little bit thinner, and we felt it. and we felt it because Jesus is coming. And you know, when the presence of Jesus is with us, there is the chance to choose in a way that is not there when he's not. You know, I used to, the philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre once said, and I used to believe this, but he was wrong, I think, now. He said, I have to realize that it's impossible not to choose, because in not choosing, I'm making the choice not to choose. He kind of believed that somehow choice was always open to us. Actually, I don't think that's true, because I believe that real choice is creative, and creativity belongs to God. Choice happens in our life. You see, you know, we think we're making choices, but really we're just behaving out of our nature. All our history and our chemistry is coming together. But when heaven breaks in, it gives us another possibility, and that's the point where man has the option to really choose, to touch into something eternal that's different from where his life is already heading. Do you get that? It is only really when heaven breaks in that we have a real choice to choose something different. Everything else we choose, or we think we're choosing, is just out of what's already in us. So in that sense, it's just another manifestation of the same. But when heaven breaks in, we have a real choice, and that's where the heart is revealed. And so when heaven breaks in, there is a place to make choices that have the profoundest impacts, not temporary impacts, that then kind of dissolve back into the nature of who you are. So when we come together and the presence of God is over us, today is the day of decision, and there are decisions to be made today which are ones that will shape our eternal destiny in all sorts of different ways. And I was thinking about what do we talk about this morning, you know, what we don't ever want to do is we, you know, make church into, well, we have a great worship band, that's a great performance, and we hear a good talk. It is about that connection of heaven and earth. It is in that place, you see, because as we give voice to our praises, we're trying to resonate. We're saying, okay, the rocks will cry out when Jesus is being revealed, but we're going to get our hearts behind it. We're going to be the voices, because there's something more important about the human heart crying out when Jesus is revealed as a king than there is of creation. Creation will do it because that's what creation does. And we're the ones that have the choice as to how we respond as his presence comes in. As his presence comes in. And this is Advent. This wasn't what I was going to say this morning, but this is where we start. This is Advent. And I really do believe something shifted. You know, and I think that in the natural as in the spiritual very often, and we had that sign of there being silence in the air for a number of days. Do you remember? Okay. You see, and it was in the natural. Creation was prophesying. It talks about there was silence in heaven for half an hour. There was something about the presence of the king, and as he came in, and I went to one of those schools where when a teacher walked in, we all had to stop talking and stand up. You know? Okay. And so in heaven, as the Lamb is revealed, it goes silent. And in the heavens over the UK this year, it went silent. And it was prophetic of something that's going on. There is a change going on. The gap is getting thinner. Creation is responding. But creation responding is a given. It's about the human heart. But Jesus is seen more truly for who he is when our hearts cry out for him. Jesus stands up at the feast in the Gospel of John. And in the feast, they have all these things. And there's a bit in the feast where they're throwing water over people. It's all a bit of a celebration, you know. And there's these great big things of water that are being paraded through. And they're all, and in the midst of all that, which is one of the great high points of the celebration, Jesus stands up and says, "Is anyone thirsty?" You know, and obviously if they've been around today, they were going, "Yes." Like, whatever the song is. But people obviously responded, and they didn't respond to the water vats. They responded to Jesus, because the next thing is that the council are consulting and saying it is only these ignorant people who don't understand the law that respond to him, because somehow or other in that their thirst that people responded, the thirst in people's hearts for the presence of Jesus somehow made the truth of who Jesus was so much more apparent to the rest of the world, that no longer could he be ignored. The thirsty response of those human hearts at the high point of the Jewish celebration, highlighted that somehow or other Jesus was the point of that celebration in a way that even those who did not want to respond could not ignore him. And so the next thing they're doing is plotting against him. And so I think there's something true about when Jesus comes near, very often one of the factors and one of the ingredients has been the thirstiness in people and the hunger in them. It's not the only factor, but it is one of the factors that draws the revelation of Jesus as king into an environment. And all around the world, the hungry poor believe. All around the world, the hunger in people for the justice and the love of God has been causing heaven to break in. And I think we feel it in the UK. You know, I'm going to use the verses I were going to use. Well, I'm going to use, I'll not say we're going to use. From Zechariah. These words were really key to me. And some of what I want to share this morning is a little bit personal, but I was saying to Colin, it's tricky. You know, I'm doing a lot of things now outside of River, which means I'm aware of stuff that then you never tell anyone. And then if you tell people, you think you don't want to just hear what my week's been like. But these verses kind of really hit me again recently. But actually, they were very key in my own testimony. And that they were verses that at a very key moment were given very prophetically to me. So they had a lot of personal resonance, but I was reading them, you know, in a different way and as what the Lord is saying to the nation. So it says, I lifted up my eyes, chapter 2, I lifted up my eyes and I looked, and there was a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? He said, to measure Jerusalem. See how wide it is and how long it is. And behold, the angel who was speaking to me was going out, and another angel was coming up to meet him. Don't worry, don't try and keep track of the angels, because you always lose track when you do that. And he said to him, run and speak to that young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. For I declare the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I'll be a glory in her midst. Ho! Flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I've dispersed you as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. Okay, and I want to leave it there. You see, the context of this is Jerusalem has been destroyed. It has no walls. And the temple has been started, but the work has stopped. And so this man going out with a measuring line stands for our best laid plans to restore God's purposes. He's going out to measure what needs to be done. And the angel says, go and tell him, don't bother. Okay. Because Jerusalem will be inhabited without the walls. Now, this in the end is a prophecy. This is a prophetic word that wasn't fulfilled by Ezra and Nehemiah because they did build walls. Okay. It's looking to, although it was often thought, well, this was fulfilled, this prophecy, by those things. But it was looking for a period where actually it's immeasurable what God is doing. It was looking for a time where what God is doing is immeasurable with human scales and plans and projects. And so he runs and says, look, you can't do it. Okay, you can't do it. Don't do it. Because the way these things will be measured is that the glory will be in the midst and fire will be around the outside. And it's an incredible picture, you see, the way scripture mixes together with people who never knew each other. Because in Habakkuk, it talks about the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. And it talks about that in the context of a world that doesn't know Jesus and is living immoral and drunken lives. And yet in the midst of all this rottenness, the glory of the Lord is all over the world. Knowledge of the glory of God is all over the world. And the glory of God is in Jesus. And Jesus is in his church. And there is something about what this verse is looking towards, is the place where his church really understands that they are the hosts of his glory. We are the hosts of his glory. And as we host his glory, it creates a fire out there. And there is something symbiotic in that the way in which we host the glory creates more fire out there, but the more fire there is, the more the glory shines. And we can't measure all of what God is doing when he really moves. It's almost kind of like a mark of what God is doing that it is now beyond the measuring line. It's beyond the measuring line. And there is fire out there, and we saw that in things like Christianity Awareness Week. You know, here is the truth. Every single one of those kids who responded felt something and responded to it. And yet a large number of them will never perhaps come into here. But that doesn't mean God's not doing something, but it becomes very difficult to measure. And we're not the judge of what's in and what's out anymore. We don't create the lines and say, here's your membership, so now we know, another one up for heaven. Okay. Our responsibility is to keep the glory in our midst, to steward it well, to release the fire out there. But you see, we actually do have a responsibility for the glory in us. Okay, that's where our responsibility does come in. And we are stewards and custodians. It's like out there, God does what he does, but in here, he's looking for that. He's looking for that heart that stewards his presence well. And so there is something about this morning that I want to get, which is about a heart response. You know, and where we'll finish, because it's touched in here, is the eyes of God that are looking for those to show himself strong in, those whose hearts are completely his, because there is something about the way our hearts respond to Jesus that are part of the welcoming in of the King. And so anyway, just go back. The reason I came to those verses, next year, I don't know how much to kind of detail or not to give, but some of you will be aware, I got the opportunity to act as a kind of host for the Revival Alliance coming to the UK. So that's Bill Johnson, the Arnotts, Chan Siu Arn, the Banovs, the Bakers, and Randy and Deanne Clark. And through a very long and convoluted process of backwards and forwarding, instead of ending up with a big conference, what we're going for is actually a smaller gathering in London. I say smaller, but I'll explain a little bit. And I was really praying about this, because I started to feel that despite the fact we'd looked for trying to do bigger things, they hadn't really worked out. After a while, I'd come to a place where I felt, actually, we shouldn't be doing something bigger. And then we suddenly started getting offers of bigger churches. And I just felt, no, we stay with where we are. It's kind of like this is where the Lord's led us. And so we had a little meeting, and it was going to be the first, if you like, public sharing of a vision. It was on the 24th of November. And I was praying about this before going there, to go and invite other leaders into something that wouldn't be a conference with delegates, but would be a kind of a gathering of those who are fire carriers and hungry for Jesus. So that it would be something we owned together rather than a conference put on that you come to. So we'd put out some invites, and I thought, I need to have something to say. And so I sat down and started to pray. And I felt the Lord say, go and read Ezra. So I went to read Ezra first of all. And for some strange reason, he took me to end of chapter 4. It was just the way the page fell open, and I looked down and started to read. So I read the very last verse of chapter 4. It said, then the work on the house of God in Jerusalem ceased, and it was stopped until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And when the prophets Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over them, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were supporting them. And so immediately, because I read it, I thought, I thought about Zechariah and I thought about Haggai. And I went and quickly flipped open Haggai, and I read the verses in Haggai that he spoke to them to encourage them to do the building, to start rebuilding. And it says this in Haggai chapter 1, then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, verse 3, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled houses while the house lies desolate? So now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You sow much, but you harvest little. Okay, just think about these words. You eat, but there's never enough. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, and no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and glorified, says the Lord. And so the first words that started, it really kind of hit me with this issue of God was calling us out of our panelled houses to restart a work that was already finished, that had started and then stopped. A work started, then it stopped. And God was saying, come out of your own houses. And by which I understand that as being our kind of, you know, our church divisions. And one of the things I need to say, I want to kind of confess it publicly in one sense, is I've had better and deeper relationships with people from very different theological backgrounds in this last year than I've ever known. Okay. You know, and although, you know, you're always very honouring of what other people are doing, you know, the truth is you kind of feel, but, you know, just don't get this bit, do they? I mean, can God ever really bless them if they don't get this important truth? And I read those verses and I thought, you know, this is what the Lord is calling. It's not about, it's not a stream. It's not those who own the truth. This is those whose hearts respond to Jesus. And he's saying, come out of your houses. Start gathering wood. We're going to restart doing something. And as I read verses in Zechariah, we'll kind of leave those for a minute. And then I felt the Lord ask me the question, so how long was it between the start and stop of the work? So I didn't know the answer to that, so I had to get a study Bible out. And my study Bible said 14 years. I thought, well, 2011, 14 years, what was that, 1997? What happened in 1997? And it hit me straight away. Absolutely hit me. See, that's when what we call the Toronto Continuous Renewal Meetings stopped. There was a season that in the US lasted about 5 or 6 years, and the UK lasted from 1995 to 97. Pretty much, where the intensity of what God was doing was incredibly high, and then it stopped. and 14 years after, and it's 14 years that the work stopped, I thought, my goodness, Lord, are you saying something about 2011? And I'm putting it to you in these ways. What are you saying about 2011? And so I had a flow of ideas and words, and I just wrote them all down. And I took it to this meeting with these other leaders, and I just said, this is the opportunity. This is what I saw happening. The day before I'd gone up to the place in London we were looking to use was Marsham Street. And this was totally, as I say, I felt we'd kind of, that's where we'd ended up almost by default. But once we were there, I felt it was important to stay there. And I'd never made any of these connections, but of course, Marsham Street was the London centre of what happened in that kind of movement. And I met the new pastor there, and he wasn't the pastor back in those days, but I asked him, and he said, yeah, 2.5 years through to the beginning of 97, as far as we could work out, beginning of 97, we had continuous meetings, Holy Spirit renewal things were going on in this building, finished in 97. So that was, and then the next day I was with these leaders, and so I shared what I'd written down to them. And there's a guy there called Peter from a church that I've never had any connection with, North Kent Community Church. Yeah, that's all right, you know Peter, yeah. But I'd not met him. And he just said, I can't believe you just shared those verses. He said, it must have been over 5 years ago. He said, I was asking the Lord, why did it all stop? What happened? And the Lord took me to that same verse and said, it's delayed, but it will the work will restart. So I'm always cautious. I want to be, you know, so I'm saying, I'm telling you the story, and because I want to, and there's a response of, okay, what do our hearts mean in this? Because you'll see there's a heart response as we go there. You know, and he said, he took me to exactly the same verse, the end of the last verse of chapter 4 of Ezra, and the first verse, and he asked the same question of me. How long? He said, I got my study Bibles out and it said 15 years, but I thought 96 when it stopped, you know. So, you know, because it kind of trailed out, if you see what I mean, 96 to 97, it was trailing out. And he said, just last night, he said, I read those verses in Zechariah that I've just read out, and it reminded me of asking that question. And he said, I remembered, and he said, and so I was thinking, well, that must be about next year. And he said, this is the same word you just given. And so we started to pray about things. And then I'm cautious as I say this. Really, really am cautious. But then in the same guy, Peter Carter, suddenly said in the worship, he said, we were just saying, Lord, you know, plant something. If this is of you, we'll plant the seed. That's what the prayer was going on. Just saying, we want something to be birthed here today as we just share this thought, share these ideas. And he suddenly stopped and he said, my goodness, he said, I just felt the Lord ask me, how long is it from inception to birth? He said, I used to be a doctor. And he said, actually, the right answer is 9 months, 7 days. He said, if you take 9 months and 7 days from on the 24th, where we're meeting. It's the 1st of September, which is the first night of the time when these guys are here. Okay, so. Now, what do I believe the Lord is saying? Okay. Actually, also in that period is the Global Day of Prayer, you know, where the Church of the UK are being called together. There's something going on. So you hear what I'm saying. I'm not putting everything, all eggs in one basket or whatever. It is also interesting, the end of this year is the end of the 60 years when Smith Wigglesworth prophesied that after 60 years, he said, the Word and the Spirit would come together in a new way that would release a revival like that for everything else. Now, I'm trying to be as understated as possible. Okay, I'm just saying, he said after 60 years, okay, in 1950, end of 2010 is after 60 years, you know, that the Word and Spirit would come together in this new way. Okay, now I know, and hear this, the Word of God, when it goes out, is powerful and effective, but it is also, as Jeremiah says, conditional on the responses of hearts. Okay, Jeremiah says that. There are some things, you know, that God does and he does, but there are other things that he speaks into, but he is looking for the heart response. Okay, he's looking for the heart response. And it's interesting, because as I flick through in Zechariah, well, in the verses I've read, it talks about the gathering from the four winds. Okay. And there's a little note in the side of my Bible, you know, it says where else that reference comes. And it only comes a couple of times. But the context, the biggest context for the reference to the gathering from the four winds is of harvest. So Jesus says, you know, in the end, the angels will come and gather them from the four winds. And it speaks of harvest. There's something of harvest going on. And the picture I want to paint is not let's all sit back and just wait for something to unfold and we'll enjoy it like a good show. It is that there seems to be a moment with things coming together. Okay. And what is the heart response in those opportunities and those times? And believe me, I've grown up hearing revivals coming. But I never want to become cynical, because cynicism says, I've heard it so often, it never is. Okay. Reality often has to look and say, you know, there are things and the responses that the Lord needs from us. But there is a moment. And here I go back to now where I started. I didn't really mean to do this, but you know, there are some there's something about choice that's only really possible in those moments where heaven is breaking in, because it is God who calls what is not as if it was, and then it becomes so, not us. And it can therefore only be a sense in which we participate in that when we are responding to what he is doing. We do not have the ability in ourselves to achieve spiritual ends. But we do have the ability as human beings, because it's what we were made to do, to become channelers and funnels of the purposes of heaven. Okay, we cannot originate it, but we are the connection point between those purposes and the earth around us. And so we can respond and we can cooperate with it. But if you go on in Zechariah, it says this. First of all, it asks the question, who's despised the day of small things? See, and that's a heart question. It's a real heart question. Jesus says it's those who are faithful in small things that see more. If you've been faithful with little, you'll be trusted with much. Who's despised the day of small things? But these seven, it says. Now, who are the seven? Well, the seven, if you jump back to the previous chapter, are the eyes of God. Okay. We'll be glad to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Okay, it's interesting. It's not a measuring line, it's a plumb line. So there's still building to do. Okay, do you remember at the beginning, the young man was told to stop with his measuring line? Why? Because it's too big to measure. But actually, there is still a plumb line. Can you get the tension? We're not trying to measure it, but we do need to be involved in building it. Okay, and so God says, I'm really pleased to see the plumb line in his hand. And it says, these are the eyes, i.e. the seven, of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth. Some of you will know, of course, that picks up one of my favourite verses in Chronicles, where it says, the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone in whom to show himself strong. So here's that promise. Here's Zerubbabel with the plumb line. God is pleased to see him with the builder's tool in his hand, not one that's trying to measure what God is doing, but one that's going to be involved in it. Okay. He's going to get involved in it. And the plumb line is in his hands. And so, and then it says, and then the next verse is, someone whose heart, if in the quote from Chronicles, someone whose heart is completely his. And you see, there is a place for us today in this decision place to say, it's not so much about what I do, it's about what I respond in my heart to this. And the Lord is looking for heart responses to the things that, these are the choices that really make a difference. These are the, in my mind, the really creative choices. The only choices where we're truly free, where heaven gives us an option. Where heaven gives us an option. And our heart says, I'm completely with this. I'm completely with this. And it's how you got saved. You know? You know that, and I want to say today, actually, as we're here, in fact, I had some words for folks, and I just, let me quickly say this, because you can own these, but we'll pray at the end, not now, but I just felt that there's someone here with who has a real fear or worry around conception, okay, and the Lord wants to speak into that this morning, and there was also is somebody who's got kind of a grinding knee, you know, you feel it as you move your leg, and so I want to do something about that this morning. But actually, some of these, we're going to take them offline, but what I want to say is that as I'm speaking these words now, start heart responding to them. We'll pray at the end over in the corner, but start a heart response now. But equally, there are people who need to reaffirm and rewalk, or perhaps even for the first time, an openness in their heart to the Word of God. Because being a Christian and salvation is not about believing the right things. It is about the openness of our hearts and a response when God speaks. You see, eternal life is not the reward for following Jesus. It's a consequence of his life coming in. Because at that point, when you feel it, you say, I'll let it seep right into the very deep parts of who I am. And so the nature of an eternal man, Jesus Christ, who was eternal God, fully taken on humanity, an eternal man enters your heart as you open it to him. And so eternal life is not a reward, it's a consequence. There are rewards in heaven, but that's another story. Heaven is not the reward. And there are folks here today who actually, you need to know that actually you have let Jesus in, not just given mental assent to, yes, I believe in God and try and do good things. There is a place today to make a decision that eternally affects who you are. It's a real choice. But for others here, it is a choice to say, I am eternally open to what the Lord wants to do in me. I want to keep my heart open to the things he is doing, to be ready to give him pleasure, like Zerubbabel with the plumb line. In this coming season, to keep my heart in a place that is crying out so the stones don't have to. Because when the stones do, it shows the truth of who Jesus is, but it doesn't release his purposes in the way it does when a human heart cries out to God and says, I resonate with what you're saying. I go with what you're doing. I make myself available to what you're looking to accomplish at the moment. So heaven, we just invite you into our meeting. King of heaven, King of heaven, King of heaven. Creator of heaven and earth, eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm just going to ask everyone to stand so that we're all in a proactive place and it makes it a little bit easier. First thing I would say is if you feel, you know, I was just saying about actually making sure, be absolutely sure that my heart has responded to receive Jesus, you know, I'm just going to ask, If you'll raise a hand at this stage and put up a hand, say, I want to receive Jesus and make sure he's really in me. Okay, so a couple of hands that have gone up. Say, I really want to know him. I really want to know him, not just as an intellectual idea, but actually to come deep into my heart, to come deep into my heart. And Jesus takes us at our words and in those choice moments. So first of all, I just want to pray, and if you've raised a hand, just pray along with me. But Father, we open our hearts fully to you. Jesus, I want to let you shine your light into our hearts. And whatever you show up there that needs to be cleared up, we give you permission to clean it up. We receive you. We receive you, and we're grateful that you took the initiative to open the door to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then if you don't have, you see, it's like me, I'm standing, I don't know exactly what the things I've shared with you mean. I just wanted to tell you them as they came out. But I feel God doing something. And so, Father, I want to open my, and if you want to just pray along with me, you know, raise a hand, or Father, I want to open my heart to your purposes. That, Jesus, I do not want to stay silent so the stones have to cry out. I want to add the amplifying voice of a human heart that releases heaven, because that's what mankind was made to be, the releaser of heaven's plans into creation. I want to have a voice that cries out from my heart and says, you're coming, Jesus, the King is coming. The King is coming. I don't fully understand all of your timings and all of your ways, but I feel you coming. I know you're here. I know the reality of what you want to do in this nation. And I know that it will require people to go out with a plumb line in their hands, ready to do the building work that Jesus instructs us to get on with. When Jesus came, he came to this world as a builder. He said, I will build my church. Paul says, I work alongside him as a master builder. Jesus, I make my heart open to build what you're going to lead us in next year. And Father, I recognize that that means I will have to come out of my own paneled house if I'm really wanting to be involved in building the temple that God is involved in. I'm going to have to come out of my own paneled house if I'm going to be involved in the temple that God is building. But Jesus, in faith, I know that my work won't be in vain, because God is the builder of his purposes in this nation and in this world. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I think I'm going to hand back to Colin. I'm going to go over there. If you want to respond in any way, pray with someone. You know, my girls, part of their birthday treat, have gone off to the clothes show today, so I have nothing to go home for. So, yeah, no lunch or anything. So I will. So I can be here for a long time to stand and pray with people. Okay, so if you want to respond, if the Lord has spoken, and I believe he has in lots of different ways this morning, I want to stand with you in that. But I'm going to hand back to you, Colin.